because today on Be Real, we're shooting the shit with the radiant Allison Snyder. I just want to tell y'all right off the bat that my favorite part of this episode is how much we dive into the human connection. If you know anything about me, you know that I have the healthiest of addictions for the human connection. The following conversation is between two people who have met maybe twice before, but through growing up in the same part of the U.S., having a handful of mutual friends, and sharing a similar desire to turn passion into profession, we have found ways to belong to the same community, and from there, finding ways to belong to each other. On the show today, we talk about staying true to yourself in a commercial industry, cruise ship work, and her fabulous talk show, Sit Down with Snyder, exclusively on Facebook. If you'd like to join in our conversation, we would love to hear from you. Check out our Instagram, check out our Facebook, or shoot us an email and tell us how you belong in your own industry niche. Without further ado, here is Allison Snyder. What up, what up, what up?
Hello.
Allison.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm Gucci.
Thank you for inviting me into your home.
Of course.
This is your first, second, third New York apartment?
First New York apartment.
Nice.
Woof.com. I had no idea what I was doing. My lovely roommate who I met doing Priscilla had lived in New York before, so she kind of took the reins.
Yeah.
I let her do her thing. And I was like, great, sign me up. Let me know where I can sign on the dotted line. It's expansive, but it's great. It's great. All my friends are on the west side in Manhattan. So, I mean, of course you have like the few Brooklyn friends, the few Jersey friends, the few Astoria friends, but most of my friends are on the west side. So I feel like I have all my buddies here.
Nice.
It's good.
Nice. Sometime this week, I realized that most of my girlfriends live in Astoria and most of my boyfriends live in Brooklyn. So we have that split between the two. You have to go into Manhattan to go back to the other. It's, you know, but then, and then everybody else is up here.
Yeah.
Which we're all separated.
It's fine.
It's fine. You got to make the time to see friends.
You know, really, what I mean. Even if they're down the street, you still have to make the effort to go down the street. You're right.
That's real. That's so real. When was the first time that you wanted to move to New York? When did you, like, decide that this was what you wanted to do?
So if you would have talked to me in 2017, like the summer of 2017, I was between cruise ship gigs, and New York City was the last thing that I wanted.
Really?
I was like, I don't really know if I'm feeling this career, really. I was meeting a lot of muggles and hanging out with a lot of muggles and meeting their muggle families and having them be a doctor and be other quote-unquote normal things. And I still wanted to sing, still wanted to do music and do my thing, but I was like, oh, this lifestyle is tantalizing. Like, it's right in my face, and I think I might want that.
Love that you use the word muggles, by the way. I love that. I do that as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But the universe threw me into Priscilla, which was one of the biggest blessings of my life. And it's cheesy, but the last song, one of like the 11 o'clock number in that show is We Belong. And at the beginning of that rehearsal process, I did not felt like I belonged in that cast, in that show, in Tampa, Florida, where we were rehearsing. Nothing about it felt right. And I didn't know anything about that show, and I was like, I'm not gonna do like the research, I'm not gonna watch the film, I'm just gonna show up to the first day rehearsal and find out what the show's about.
Sure.
I was using that technique that
right.
time. And so I was learning about it, and I was like, I wasn't really familiar with the drag world, I just kind of just didn't know what I was doing. But one day, our music director, Randy, we were rehearsing We Belong, and he goes, okay, everyone, circle up, and I come to find out he does this for every cast, but it's like the infamous We Belong circle. We all hold hands. And it actually started with the person to my right. So I was last. And everyone shared the most stunning stories. He was like, share something where you feel like you have belonged somewhere, or maybe something that you don't belong a part of that you want to change in your life. Just share something. Share what this song means to you. And everyone, obviously, like, tears on tears on tears, and it just got down. And I was, like, incommunicable at the end. I was like, you know what? guard down, like, feel like I don't belong here. I was like, I don't know what's going on, because I started to do theater kind of late in the game, like 15, 16, and this is why I decided to do theater was because of the people.
Yeah.
And I told everyone that, too. I was like, the reason I do my career is because of the people that I meet. Those people keep me going. They are my family. They're, like, my everything.
Of course.
And I was like, I'm finding it really difficult to feel like I belong here. I'm not going to lie. And everyone was shocked. Everyone was just like, and I was also like going through a breakup and some other BS. And so I was like depressed and sad. And everyone was like, oh, I just thought you were just like the sad girl in the corner. Like,
that's your aesthetic.
That's my aesthetic. Shout out to my friend Pete who, cause I was like, wait, do I have resting bitch face? And they're like, no, you have resting concerned face. resting worried face. But yeah. And then honestly, in that moment and right after that circle, everyone came up to me. Some people were like, I feel like that too. Mm. Other people were like, I had no idea. And I just, everyone talked, we all connected. And then the rest of that contract was the biggest blessing of my life. One of the best groups of humans in the whole wide world. I want to get We Belong tattooed on my body somewhere. So my girlfriend, Kat, she messaged me and was like, hey, my room will be up for sublet in March. And this was actually probably a year ago, last October. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm committing myself to that. Yeah. I will be in New York for the month of March. I'm moving to New York. It was within my bones. I just felt this weird calling. I was like, I'm going to move to New York. And it wasn't necessarily like passion, but it was a drive. It was like an inner drive that I didn't know I had before. New York is the hardest thing I think I've ever done. And it's been anything but pleasant since I moved here, but I do think I am meant to be here. I think I have to stick it out, and I think I have to work hard to get what I want, and I need to work hard to, it's not going to just float my way.
Right.
No one's going to hand it to me on a silver platter. Like, it's, I need to bust.
Well, and I think that is, from talking to, you know, friends who have gone through similar things, I think anybody who has moved to New York to pursue theater has felt this at one moment where that realization where, shit, I'm going to have to work really, really hard to do this thing that I love. Because we do, you know, people don't do theater because they hate it. Or, like, they don't do it, you know, just to get by or just to pay the bills. We do it because we're passionate about it. Those are the people who stick in it. It's the love first. Mm-hmm. And I love that story that you shared about, you know, connecting with a cast, because I feel like a lot of people have had a similar experience where you connect with these people in a very short amount of time, mind you. Like, let me just point out that we usually put shows up in 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
That's the average rehearsal process for a show, whether it be a cruise or a summer contract, you know, whatever. And so we have those 2 weeks where we spend morning, noon, and night with these same people. We live with them. We rehearse with them. We eat with them. Same, very similar to like a college theater program.
Yeah.
But you have those 2 weeks and then you're off and running and then you're in the show. And it's amazing how close you can get to people in 2 weeks and how connected your lives can feel for that time. And just as amazing how they can kind of break apart once you're done, but still, you know,
it's true,
but it's still amazing, you know, how that happens.
It's
going from that love, like just that pure love and elation from doing something that you love, being around a group of people who also may have some point in their lives considered themselves to be misfits or outcasts or, you know, just not comfortable with in the muggle world, you know, or what have you. And moving from that love into making this a career, New York is often one of the big, like, hits you like a hurricane because you're like, oh, this, I moved here to do this career and now I have to consistently hustle to get what I want within the career.
Yep.
How was that transitioning from like a passion to a profession?
Woof. Luckily I had I came to New York for a week in 2016. It was my big first New York audition. I auditioned for the first national tour of Rent, or the first national tour, the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
And I was so excited, la la la, did an audition. And then, like, flew back to Ohio to finish school. And then showcased that year, and I was in callbacks for, I think, the national tour of Mamma Mia or something. it actually, like, made it pretty far in that process. I was like, yes, doing it, la la la. Showcase, la la la. Left for a summer contract, jumped on ships for 2 years. So I did a humble 2 auditions in New York City, both with appointments, which I did not realize was not the norm.
Ah.
I had no idea.
Ah.
So luckily, coming to New York, thank goodness for my friends and, like, my roommate Elaine, who grabbed my hand and was like, all right, we're going to go down, get on the A train, go to 34th Street, and stand outside of a building for a few hours in the snow rain.
At what time in the morning? What's that?
You wake up, honestly, like, if I'm going to do it, I wake up at, like, 3:30 and leave my apartment at 4.
God bless.
So that you can get there by, like, 4:30, 4:30 or 5. And then you still ain't first.
No.
You're behind Jessica, Veronica, Brittany. And then you kind of bond in a weird way with them too.
Yes.
Like, this sucks.
The shared experience. We theater people love the shared experience. Like, if we're all gonna be knuckle deep in shit together, we're gonna huddle together. We're gonna be like, all right, we're all gonna do it. We're all gonna be upset at the same time and happy at the same time. It's that shared connection. We love it.
God bless this one girl who we were all standing on the whatever weather, and she went over to Dunkin' and bought donut holes and started walking down the line and giving everyone one donut.
What?
I was like, the world needs more people like you. We were all like dumbfounded, like sheer joy and love. And I was like, all right, this is okay. We're all in this together. I had people hold my hand and tell me where to go. And I'm EMC, so that means that I can sign up on that list for this kind of audition, but it means nothing for that audition.
Yes.
And that took a while. It's still not over that one. Like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
I have been going to auditions and being here in the summer. Obviously there literally are none. So that was kind of a little, you know, you kind of like get out of it a little bit. But this fall, since audition season is kind of picking back up, yes, it is a lot. You will go in the morning and you will wait there for 12 to 14 to 16 hours some days and then never get seen. You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
Yeah.
So if you, it's like you have to just show up. I was talking to one of my buddies, Andrew, and he was like, if you show up and are supportive of people and show up and just like stick it out, your time will come. And it is hard to, you know, just kind of stomach that and keep going. And especially when you go in for specific things, if you get called in for a specific role, you envision yourself in that show. And I know it's in my own little head, like, you see yourself in that show and then you can't see anyone else in it. You're like, how in the world would a casting director ever see anyone else?
Yeah.
I am perfect for that. Like, they don't know what I could do with that role. And then you don't get it and it's just, like, not for me anymore. But, like, the world is over for a little bit. Like,
yeah.
It's like, how did they not see that? In the moment, for those, like, 16 bars, you have to be married to the character and you have to believe yourself in it. But then the second you finish, you have to let it go. It's like, move on, get over it, sign up for the next one. Because that was not for you.
Yeah, yeah. There's a million no's to every yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And something that I have discovered within the past few weeks, I have to take no's as some inspiration. I have to work on myself more. I can't just sit around and be lazy about it. I was like, I can't expect them to say yes if I'm not going to work at myself. I was like, I have to be more diligent about my practice because that, you know, like I have to invest in myself if they're going to invest in me.
Of course.
So that's kind of been a little bit more of a drive too.
What does that look like? What do you do to invest in yourself? Because you, as a theater person,
yeah,
you are your, when you're freelance or when you start freelance, really anytime as a theater professional, you are your number one manager, your number one boss.
Yeah.
You are your market person.
Yeah.
You know, you brand yourself, you advertise for yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be there for you.
Yeah.
And what does that look like for you?
This is kind of silly, but like my hair has been a bit of a process with my career.
Tell me.
My junior year, I was cast as Peter Pan at Wright State, and my director, Joe, goes, so I was thinking, I had really long brown hair.
Yeah.
He goes, so I was thinking, how would you be willing to cut your hair? And I'm kind of a crazy person, so I never did was I going to say no. And I didn't want to say no. I was like, yeah, I want to do that. He was like, I just don't want to put you in a wig and then have some wire on your body when you're flying and it rip off or it fly off in any way. I want you to be in it, organic, real. I don't want anything about it to be fake. And I loved that. I really appreciated that. So I went to the salon. My hairstylist, Abra, of Square One in Dayton, she chopped my hair off. She cut the ponytail off, and I loved it. She, like, buzzed the sides, and it was long on the top, and it was like a Scarlett Johansson at the time had it. I don't know if she still does, but and I had never in a million years, I'd never my whole life loved my hair until I chopped it all off. And then that became my image. Then everyone was like, oh, you're Krista Rodriguez. Mm. You're the, like, Wednesday Addams.
Isn't it crazy how, you know, just a little change, mm-hmm. just a little change can make that difference for someone who, you know, who plays characters.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
for a living.
And it's, and I loved it. I loved my hair. Actually there, and then there came a time when there was a person who was not content with the way I looked. It was a person who had a little bit of say in a production, but should not have had say in a production. He was dissatisfied with my body and with my hair. Mm. And I've always been athletic. Mm-hmm. I've played sports for way longer than I've done theater, actually. And I love sports and I love being strong. I've never wanted to be skinny. I want to be strong and fit and healthy. Health is, like, important to me. I want to, you know, be healthy.
Yeah.
But I freaked out and succumbed to that order. I mean, it went as far as, like, looking into getting a weave sewn into my head. And that didn't happen. But I did grow my hair out. And I did lose a lot of weight for that specific thing. Have I gained it back? Yeah. Do I want to get back to where I was? Kind of, but for very different reasons. And so my hair now, it was like, you know, it hit like the weird phase where it's like kind of by your ears, by your chin. And I have big hair, so it was like, I'm either going to straighten it and it be like fierce, or it's going to be like weird and curly. And it just, you know, still wasn't like anything to be like praised by other people. And I still just didn't really feel like me. And then finally, I think I've maybe gotten 3 haircuts in the past, like, 3 years. So it's kind of, it's longish now, and I'm in love with it again, and I, side tangent, I've also done a few, like, showcases this year, and a lot of musical theater people in casting look at me and they go, I'm confused. And I've had some friends be like, honestly, Allie, maybe it's because you're not, like, a brunette or a blonde. You're kind of like your own thing. And I'm like, you know what? I have to be myself.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to. Yeah. I was like, I will not succumb to some one person's theory or one person's idea of what it's meant to be. So in going with, like, how do I work on myself? How do I brand myself? How do I market myself? I have to do my own thing. It's like, because if I'm not going to do my own thing, no one's going to do that for me. And it's like, if I'm beating myself down to maybe please somebody's idea, like, that is just, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And it was killing my spirit. It's like, I have to be myself. It's like, it's not even an option anymore. I have to do my thing.
Yeah.
I do understand that you have to match your headshot. So, like, I am trying to maintain this look for a little while, but, and that is a bit restricting, you know. It's like, okay, I don't have the freedom to, like, chop my hair off tomorrow if I want to. That's a bit restricting. And I do wish I had that freedom, but that's okay. I accept that. Yeah. Slowly but surely signing up for more classes. I'm gonna sign up for that fitness class, gonna sign up for that top class, gonna take that coaching, gonna work on that voice lesson, slowly but surely. And I think when I first moved to New York, I was afraid to spend the money that I had made on my cruise ships. Because everyone's like, oh yeah, Allie's got cruise ship money. You do make good money on ships, but I didn't want to lose it. I was like, that's like the only thing that I have to my name. But I was like, you know what? I kind of have to be willing to spend it.
Well, yeah. And I mean, having a little pocket of change in New York, just knowing that you have it is
security. It's almost like insurance. If anything bad happens, I have this, you know, yep. this savings, yep. the, this pocket of change that I can resort to or turn mm-hmm. to when I need it. Yeah, that's very real. But also having that cruise ship money, like, super beneficial.
It allowed me to move to New York.
Yeah, yeah. How was the cruise?
I loved it. I have never been a very, like, stationary person. I'm not a homey person. I don't need to be home. I love my family, but we kind of get to the point where we, like, see and speak to each other maybe once a year, and we're okay with that. We kind of know we're all out doing our thing. So I love being halfway around the world for 9 months at a time.
Yeah.
I love it. I loved the people. Honestly, the people that you meet that work on the ship that don't do anything in the arts, like the random bartenders that you hang out with, the shoppies, the people who work in the shops, like all that, like, and they're all from amazing places.
Yes. Yeah.
They're from countries that I had never even heard of. Yeah. I'm like, my little Midwestern American booty was like shipped off to a place and I'd never even heard of like Croatia, Serbia. So it opened my mind times 1,000. And it makes me appreciate, honestly, it makes me appreciate living in America more than I did before. Yes, it's not anywhere near what it should be right now. And yes, we do need to make some changes. But, I mean, it's like, yes, we're still a first world country. And I think we overlook that a lot.
Yeah. How did the experience prepare you for both the move to New York and just other parts of your career?
Ooh, love that. Financially, we'll just get that one out of the way. Like, it's a good gig. It's going to pay your bills and it's going to give you a little bit of a savings, especially right out of college. I totally recommend it for that aspect. And I was singing every day.
Mm.
So I feel like my voice just improved by singing every day. And they threw material at me that I had not done a lot of. Because going to musical theater school, I sang musical theater for 4 years.
Yeah.
I maybe sang one pop song at Wright State. Like, one Avril Lavigne song for that Rent audition that I went on.
Yeah.
Like, so it just opened up my voice, allowed me to, and my last contract, was in Burn the Floor once a week, which is, like, the ballroom show. And most of it's, like, Christina Aguilera, Shakira, like, that kind of singing. And then all of a sudden they have you sing Carmen. And I'm like, all right, listen, while I do strive to work on my head voice, it is not really a thing that I like to do in front of anyone else ever. But I was like, all right, well, you know what? I'm going to have to sing Carmen once a week now. But I improved. No, it's not opera. No, it's not anything like that should be singing Carmen. But I was like, you know what? I got better.
Yeah.
That was actually the hardest transition for me with moving to one of the hardest transitions is because I was singing every day for 2 years and getting paid to do it and on fabulous islands and countries.
Yeah.
And now you're not singing ever and you're stuck in like dirty New York. Like it was like, like, honestly, that's why I had to start my little like extra side gigs. Like my little talk show. I had been wanting to do that for a few years. But then I hit a massive like creative, like, what do you call it?
Crisis. Yeah.
Yep. And I was like, I have to do it. I have to do it. I don't care if anyone likes it. I don't care if everyone hates it. I have to do it because my body was aching without performing. But yeah. Oh, I loved it. Am I eager to go back to another cruise ship? Not necessarily, because I want to challenge myself to embrace New York.
Sure, for sure.
I think going back would be an easy way out.
Yeah.
Would it be fun? Yeah. Would I get to do cool things and work with cool people? Yeah, but I want to challenge myself.
You've seen that scene. You're comfortable there now at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. I get that for sure. Tell me about your talk show. You said that it's been a dream of yours for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to make it a reality?
It's the silliest thing in the whole wide world. But it makes me so happy, I have to say. I started with Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler Sims. And I had to start with somebody that I felt super comfortable around because I was so scared. I was like, this is... I remember when I released the first episode on Facebook, I was just like shaking. But I was like, this is good. I need to just keep doing this because this is throwing myself out of my comfort zone and just stretching me in a new artistic way.
Yeah.
I view it as lots of the stars in the world, like movie stars, la la la, and then like Broadway stars get to share their story, and we don't get to hear everyone's story.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, there is so much beauty in like hearing what Kelly O'Hara and Seth Meyers and Tom Cruise have to say.
Yeah.
Like, I love their stories, and I watch Jimmy Fallon every night. Like, I love it. But I was like, there are so many people that have so much to share, and we never get to hear their story.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to literally sit down with my friends, and I don't care if two people watch this. You need a platform to share your story.
Yes.
You have so much value. You have so much to say. And they're honestly, with every single interview that I do, everyone is teaching me so much. It's helping me. If no one's watching, I don't care.
Yeah.
But it's helping me. I honestly love editing videos. So it kind of like occupies my time and just like gives me something to do.
Sure.
While the kids I babysit are in ballet and I have an hour to sit there, it's like giving me something to do. And I was actually, so I released 10 episodes and I was actually going to take a bit of a break. Because I was like, you know what? I should probably focus on me. I should probably focus on my music. I should probably focus on my craft. But then in one day, three separate people in three separate buildings, three separate venues came up to me and were like, I love your show. And I watch every single episode. And I'm like, I was like, what? I was like, no way. I was like, they're like, yeah, I love it so much. Keep doing it. And I'm like, okay, well, if that's not a sign, I don't know what is. So I was like, you know what? I have to keep going. I have to keep doing it.
You know, there's that saying, dance like nobody's watching, but it's so intimidating, and it's so intimidating. It's more nerve-wracking to dance when you don't know if there's anybody watching. You don't know if anybody's going to watch. As someone, you know, who is used to performing in front of lots of people and performing in front of an audience, it's nerve-wracking. It is to release work, to release something original or something that bears your soul a little bit, something that goes out on a limb, not knowing if anybody will see it or appreciate it. You know,
I also just thought of this. It's going along with that. It's scary being yourself.
Mm.
And I feel like I am myself in these videos. I'm not on stage. I'm not a character. I'm not being paid to do this. I'm not having a persona. I'm not forcing anything. And I changed a lot while I was away for 2 years. I was a completely different person in my undergrad at Wright State, and I didn't know that I needed to go and do my own thing for 2 years. So I feel like when everyone's watching these, it's kind of doubly scary because I feel like they don't know this. And I, like, it's weird because I was actually just talking about this last night. People are like, do you have nicknames? What do you go by? And I'm like, it's crazy because my name has, like, evolved as well. I was Allison before college, and then in college I was Snyder. And then starting with cruise ships, I was Allie.
Yeah.
And now when I go to a coffee shop and people are like, what's your name? I say Allie. And it's like almost like a new, I feel like a fresh person. Like it's like a fresh start.
I feel that.
And it's like, it's doubly nerve-wracking because people that used to know me before all these like massive changes happened don't necessarily know this person. But if they want to get to know me, great. And if not, I don't care.
Yeah.
I used to care a lot about that, but I don't anymore.
Yeah. How do you, and you've touched a little bit on this. How do you stay true to yourself within the profession, within auditions or within meeting people and establishing relationships within this business now? Mm-hmm. How do you establish yourself, how do you perform yourself within professional settings?
Love that. I went to an audition earlier this year. It was one of my first New York auditions back in like March or whatever, maybe number three. And it was, I think, Guys and Dolls was in the season. And I was wearing my favorite pair of black skinny jeans and like some boots or heels or something and like a cheetah print crop top because I was like, this is what I want to wear today. And I was going to audition for Guys and Dolls. And people were like, should I wear the red dress or the blue? And I don't like dresses. I will wear one like every now and then. Yeah. But I'm really not a dress person. I'm a pants person. And I was like, why don't you just wear whatever you want to wear? Like, it just kind of didn't make sense to me. I do understand that you kind of do need to, like, live in that world a little bit for the auditions.
Sure.
But that is what's making me want to do more TV film work because casting people in the TV film world kind of just, like, have a more welcoming energy to, like, me being myself. And in the musical theater world, I don't feel as much freedom to be myself. I will say there is work nowadays that is praising real humans.
Yes, yes.
It's getting there.
Like, We love that. For theater to be such a community where it's like, we welcome everybody and we love everyone. It's so crazy because then you look at the work on stage and for the past 100 years, you know, it was fitting a character type or fitting an archetype of a character on stage. And so it was really, I also, as someone who I love staying true to myself, you know, and I found that to be very helpful in this business, but it was intimidating at first because you're up against all of these scripted stereotypes and character types. And it's really hard to break away from that in the audition process. As soon as you get into the show, there's a little more freedom to apply yourself as an artist into the character. But when you're in audition, people are looking for very specific things, very specific traits that line up with the characters that they're trying to fill. Yeah, that's crazy. It's really intimidating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was watching an interview with Barrett Wilbert Weed. It was that like dream role video where she was singing and it was amazing. And she was naming her dream roles and she named like two or three. And then she was like, I honestly can't think of any others. They're probably going to have to be written because I'm weird. And I was like, I kind of resonate with that a little bit. Like love I can, that. Like there are a few roles that I'm like, yeah, I want to play that. But I'm like, I kind of just, it's going to have to be like new stuff.
Yeah.
I will say like, Dear Evan Hansen and Mean Girls and what was the other one? Oh, like Be More Chill. Like, I feel like they're getting a little bit like more earthy, like real people in 2018. Like it's not any like Sarah in Guys and Dolls anymore.
We tattoo our bodies and pierce things and dye our hair crazy colors and we don't care. Yes. That's us.
Yes.
That is 2018.
Yes.
Or you cannot, you know, but there's more, there is more of the freedom to choose your own individualized, unique look.
Yep.
And that it is nice that they are starting to embrace that and represent that on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starting.
Starting
needs
to.
Needs some help, but we'll get there. I think in terms of networking, it's fun meeting friends of friends in New York. That's a fun game I've been playing this year. It's like, my buddies will invite me to this party, or to go to that bar, or to see that show with that person and meet somebody new. And it's just like, I'm gonna try to remember your name.
Right.
And I'm gonna, let's be friends and let's hang out. And just like, slowly kinda, and then you meet people who are, like, I met somebody a few weeks ago and he's like, yeah, I'm writing this play. And I'm like, it's like that's where the work is being made. It's honestly, like, it's within us. It's within all of us millennials and all like our friend groups.
Right. Well, and there's more than just performers in New York. There are sometimes we forget that as performers, but there are playwrights and musicians and directors and all of us just trying to make it. You know, just because you're someone who would like to be a director doesn't mean you immediately get, you know, it's the same uphill climb as a performer. We're all professional artists just trying to make it happen for ourselves.
Yep.
And it's, I think it's really beneficial to network with all different sorts of types.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun little game to play. And that's actually, I think, is an enjoyable part of the industry.
Absolutely.
Because going right back to it, it's the people that keeps me in this business.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. How do you deal with, I don't want to use the term difficult people, but for lack of a better term, how do you deal with difficult people on contracts or people that you just realize that you're not going to gel with either on a personal level or a professional level.
Yeah, there's, yeah. And it's kind of crazy to think about, because I was like, you know what? I have had to be that person to someone. Because I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, that person has friends. And I have, like, I'm like, what if they view me the same way I view them? I will say, I've had people at the beginning of contracts where it's like oil and water. Like, it's like, you do not see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's like, this is not going to work. This is miserable. This is awful. And then turn around and be one of my best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
I have had that happen. So I will say, keep your mind open, because you never know. Like, you never know who's going to turn around and be your best friend. But then there's also people who you get close to, and then they, like, turn around and then decide that you're not as close sure. as you thought you were.
Within those 2 weeks from first meeting, too. From first meeting to first show.
Honestly. Yeah. Honestly, kind of like a side tangent, but my buddy Andrew and I, we were talking about this, and we're both, like, slowly starting to explore in the dating world in New York.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for us to not jump to the end right away. It's like, can I see myself marrying this person? Will it be forever?
Do you play the last name game?
100%. Like, Allison Luzna.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? This is why we can't do this. It's because of that.
It is. Oh, thank you for saying that. Thank you. I was thinking about this the other day.
Yeah. It's because we, as artists, we get into a room and you meet the cast, and then you are all best friends on day two.
Yeah.
And
not even like, hi, my name is Bessie, what's your favorite color? It's, hi, my name is Bessie, when was the last time that you felt real trauma? What?
I know.
What?
I
don't even know how to spell your name correctly yet, but I know, you know. Secrets. I know secrets. I know, you know, childhood, past, you know, how you felt in college, like how you fared in high school. Like, how did we get there?
I know. We are each other's therapists.
We are. Yeah.
Oh, but Cass knows things about me that if that was ever released.
Yes. Yeah.
That would be problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the real world, I like to kill with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard,
yeah.
But I do like to kill with kindness, so I do try to translate that into the artistic world. Another one of my friends that I met on contract, she was so great about this. If she was feeling, like, weird vibes between people, she literally would sit them down and be like, have I done something to upset you? She'll say that, quote unquote, and I'm like, I tried it once, and I get so scared because I'm very anti-confrontational, but I'm like, you know what? I think that is the difference.
Communication is key. Communication is key.
It really is.
Yeah.
I hate that it is. I have a love-hate relationship with that.
Me too.
That is. But that it really is.
Well, and as someone who also, like, I really don't like being confrontational, but in the past year have, in other ways of my life, have embraced the uncomfortable and, like, embraced the feeling of being uncomfortable. And sitting down with someone and talking about feelings, or, you know, especially within a professional setting, like having to do that so that you can all do your jobs, which is not really something that a lot of other professions have to do. But I have been on several contracts where the cast, or, you know, some people in the cast or the production team in the cast have had to sit down and talk about an issue that we simply could not allow to be transferred to the stage emotion-wise or relationship-wise. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, just kind of like figuring out where we all are, how we can get to the same headspace, the same level ground where we can do our jobs. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. We are here. We are at this rehearsal. We are at this theater to do our jobs. And so how do we get from this conflict too, and we don't have to like each other, which is that's the other thing about dealing with difficult people is at the end of the day, when you leave this contract, when you leave this job, you can choose who you get to stay in contact with.
Yep.
You can choose who you get to stay friends with.
Yep.
And the other people, just stop following them on Instagram, unfriend them on Facebook. You no longer have to be, yep. You know, you no longer have to be that person.
It's real.
But there is that time, and that makes up for the time where you have to simply tolerate, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a blessing about our industry, that a lot of other industries do not have that luxury.
Yeah.
If you're a nurse at a hospital and you don't like the nurse that works with you, one of you is going to have to quit if you don't want to work together.
Or go work at a different station or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, that is a blessing. It's a blessing and a curse having the constant flow of jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Meeting different people consistently. Mm-hmm. Always new people in and out the door. And that's, it's so wild to think about how many people you meet within this industry. How many people that you know, you know, for short amount of time, very short amount of times, even at, you know, these networking opportunities or these networking moments where you might meet someone at a party or meet someone after a show who was also there to see someone in the show. You realize you have mutual friends in common and then you go off your separate ways. And then maybe you see each other a year later at an audition.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And through time you get to, you know, that's, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's truly, truly. Oh, and I mean, it's the same really for the two of us, is that we met through a mutual friend.
Yep.
And now here we are in New York.
And kind of keep, like, the universe keeps bringing us back together
exactly.
in various ways.
Which is great because it's so, you know, I will say this time and time again, and so will anybody that I talk to. New York has millions of people living here, but it's incredibly lonely. It can be very difficult to meet up with people or to meet up with people who you know. You see so many strange faces every day on the street, and it takes effort, it takes work to meet up with people who you know, people who make you feel comfortable. And I think that that encourages us to reach out a little bit more than we would if we were, say, in college or at a job where we see the same people every day.
Uh-huh.
It takes a lot more effort to make these connections with new people and then sustain those connections from a 5-minute, you know, introductory interaction to being in a show together 2 years down the road, or you know, or living together at some point.
Yep.
How crazy.
It's like hanging out with my friends is like literally scheduling dentist appointments now.
Yeah.
It's like, I've got time 3 Thursdays from now from 1 to 2 p.m.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're not in Flatiron, then I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't know if we can meet up.
It's like
the
times when I'll be finished something in Tribeca and Tyler just happens to be on the way to work and we literally have 15 minutes on 14th Street together.
Yes.
And I love that the universe gives us that.
Yes.
But that does not happen all the time.
No.
And hanging out with people, I have a book, a calendar book, and I schedule when I'm hanging out with people.
Yes.
I schedule play dates for myself.
Got to pencil it in. And it's important. It's crucial.
Oh, it
is. So important.
I did not get when I first moved to New York, I was trying on, for size, many other daytime jobs that a lot of my dear friends had and liked.
Yeah.
Or maybe didn't like, but it worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, they did not work for me. It was like trial and error, but I did not give myself consistent days off or any days off.
Oh, yeah.
I would just kind of, like, work, and then it would be a month would go by, and I would be like, oh, well, I'm miserable and lonely and hungry and haven't seen a friend in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So it catches up to you.
It's crucial.
That's one thing. When I went back to the ship in August for 4 weeks, and I was having like a little bit of anxiety coming back to New York because I was like, wow, I was really miserable. How do I make some changes? And that was one of the first steps I took. I was like, every Friday I'm refusing to babysit. And now it's every Friday and Saturday. I refuse to babysit on Fridays and Saturdays. The other 5 days, sign me up on the dotted line. And sometimes I'm there for like 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like so it's like those days are crazy. And that is a game changer for me.
Yeah.
Like consistent scheduled days off. I fill them with other things like this and my show and making music and things that fill my soul.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta feed the soul. Mm. Love that.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time. This has become the regular, like, last question of the show. I love manifesting goals for oneself. You know, you speak it into the universe and you continue to speak it into the universe until it happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love that, love that, love that.
So what are some goals that you have for the next year to make it happen for yourself within this industry.
Ooh, I love that. I do want to finish an album of my own music. I've released 2 songs and people are like, what are you going to do with them? And I'm like, I don't know. I thought releasing them was the doing. Like, I was like, oh, well, I already did it. And they're like, what? But that is a goal that I have. I don't know what that's going to do other than make me happy, but I'm okay with that. Yeah. And I don't care if anyone else likes it. I don't. I do not care. That's a goal I have. I do want to challenge myself to work on land. Since I've been away for so long, I want to do some things on land. Like, I kind of want to, like, follow along a little bit because a lot of my friends are going on tours.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh, well, Priscilla on the Ship is, like, basically a tour. But, I mean, it is and it isn't. It's, you know, different. But I'm like, you know what? I think I want to challenge myself to, like, I won't cement that goal, but I'd definitely be open to that.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be a step up for me in my little, like, own personal food chain of the industry. I am eager to do, a show on land. And also, so I had a cheeky little film reel at Wright State, and I actually was, like, kind of a little proud of it.
I've seen it.
Yeah. Okay. With Tyler? Yeah. And I love it, and I love it, but I have no hair. So, Tyler and I were like, we need to write another scene and film it again because I need to make a new film reel because, honestly, the TV film world excites me way more than musical theater does. And musical theater excites me a lot. So, yeah. It's like, I really, really, really want to get a new film reel. And I've been saying this for a few months now, so I actually need to get it in. I want a new film reel and I want to go to some TV film auditions. And I want to do that, too. Amazing. I really, really, really want to do that. So kind of just immerse myself into the industry. Next March will be like my 1 year New York anniversary. So it's time to like, I can't use the excuse that I'm new anymore.
Mm.
I need to just embrace it, live it, and accept it, accept my successes and lessons. I won't say failures, but like
lessons. I like that. Successes and lessons.
Yeah.
Successes and lessons. Uh-huh. I really like that. That's true. It's, you know, it takes someone with keen perspective and innovation and imagination to see something that some would consider a failure as a stepping stone to success.
Hell yeah.
And I love that. I feel like that's what theater is all about. The million no's to a yes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, it teaches us drive.
Yeah.
And not to give up.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, too. I will say that. Yes. Because I have had dear friends, like, leave the business, move out of the city, do various other things. And that is also a success.
Yeah.
That's knowing what you need in that time, and that's doing something else. Because maybe in a year or two, I'll discover that I don't want to do this anymore. And there's literally no shame in that. So it's kind of, yeah.
It really is do what makes you happy. Or let me say this. Find what makes you happy.
Uh-huh.
And then hustle towards that.
Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Whatever that may be.
Yes.
And then just hustle the shit out of it. Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, my brain filling in your sentence was, do what makes you happy and pay bills.
And pay bills. And pay bills.
Then the word, and the word hustle was like, oh, there it is.
Yep.
The hustle. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Allison, thank you so, so, so much.
Thank you so, thank so, so much. I'm really proud of you and excited
thank you.
About this.
I'm proud of you. Look at us. Look
I know,
at us.
Right?
We're both doing things. It's great. It's good to see. It's good
the
to
world
see
needs
working.
More people like you.
Oh, my God. I feel the same way about you. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
We did it.